Welcome to Unfuck Your Brain. I'm your host, Cara Lowenthal, Master Certified Coach and founder of the School of New Feminist Thought. I'm here to help you turn down your anxiety, turn up your confidence, and create a life on your own terms, one that you're truly excited to live. Let's go.
Hello, my chickens. How are we doing today? I am coming off of several weeks of events and trips and masterminds, and my brain's a little bit tired. But it's always so good to be around other people who are thinking about their life intentionally and who believe in coaching and the power of managing your mind. It's such an important thing to kind of surround yourself with people who want to be evolving and changing their lives. That's not to say that all your family and all your friends need to like also get into self-coaching and join the clutch. I mean, you know, sure, they should, but they don't have to. But it is important to seek out that community, right? To be around people who you have that in common with. And that really leads me actually to the topic of today, because I want to talk about kind of different kinds of belonging and how we can create and facilitate change, and when that's in tension with our desires to belong. So at my last mastermind meeting, right, I was looking around the room and reflecting, as I often do, on how different the backgrounds are of everybody in that room, right? And this is my small mastermind group I'm in, a peer mastermind where everyone is a life coach and doing seven figures or more in their business. We know each other from having gone through coach certification or master coach certification together, different ways. So we come from very different places. You know, there's me, obviously. I went to Harvard Law School. I did reproductive rights litigation in academia. And then a couple of people who have maybe similar backgrounds to me. One person was a doctor before she became a coach. One person was a nurse before she became a coach. One of them worked in the social justice nonprofit world also, but then also one of us was an occupational therapist and one of us sold mops in Walmart and one person was the first in her family to go to college and one person didn't go to college at all. And like one person swears all the time, which is me. Not only one, others of them swear too. And then, you know, one of us is a member of the Church of Latter-day Saints and doesn't swear at all. Like we have such different backgrounds and experiences. And one of the things that I've thought about a lot as I made this transition from working in a sort of very traditional in a weird sense, I don't mean kind of conservative, I mean like East Coast elite educational social justice oriented world. And what the transition like was going from that to being a life coach and what kinds of diversity are prized in different environments. And so in my kind of elite educational social justice world, there was more kind of diversity of backgrounds and marginalized populations in many ways than the life coaching industry in terms of people's racial and ethnic identity and community, but actually not that much or not as much diversity of socioeconomic and class and educational backgrounds, right? Makes sense. And then the life coaching industry has not historically had enough diversity of marginalized populations and people's racial and ethnic identities, but has more variety in kind of life experience and background along socioeconomic, educational kind of axes. And obviously, I think all these forms of diversity are super important. And ideally, any sphere that you are in or any life that you create is going to have true diversity across different identity and belief lines. So it's not like one of these is better than the other. They're just different. It's just interesting to think about what kinds of differences I saw in these two different communities. And one of the reasons I'm bringing this up is that while I was at that trip, I was having a conversation with my friend Rachel, and Rachel used to do communications work and training at a very big, important foundation, philanthropic foundation. By the way, this was so cute. One of my students messaged me the other day and they referred to their coaching bestie as like their Rachel, which I just thought was adorable. It's like our platonic love affair now is its own whole kind of relationship that can just go by like its own name. Anyway, I was talking to the original Rachel, my Rachel, about how weird it is. Like we often just reflect on like our old lives and our new lives and how strange that transition has been. And I was saying that in our old lives, basically everyone around us was a feminist, right? I went to Yale, Rachel went to Wellesley. We both worked at progressive nonprofit organizations I lived in Manhattan, she lived in Brooklyn, right? Most people around us shared our political beliefs. They knew what feminism was. They identified as feminist, right? Whether they were people of every gender identity. And if they didn't identify as a feminist, it was usually because they had a more radical political analysis and thought that, you know, the feminist movement was too mainstream, too white, too co-opted, whatever. So the people who weren't feminists were like, yeah, it's because I'm more leftist and more radical than feminist. Not I'm to the right of it. So that was kind of our world. And then we became life coach. And I was in the reproductive rights movement, especially so, particularly so there. And then we became life coaches. And most of the people we encountered did not identify as feminists. And my experience was some people knew what a feminist was, but they had negative associations with feminism, right? You know, the stereotypes about feminists being angry or hating men or whatever these stereotypes are. And I could do a whole other podcast on that. And then some people saw feminism as political and they didn't see themselves as political. So they didn't see themselves as feminists. Some people just had literally basically never heard of feminism. You know, they probably had heard the word once or twice or read it in an article, but they just never even really given it any thought, not even enough thought to have a negative opinion of it. Or some people had heard of it, but they were sort of that's not for me. That's not for people like me for whatever reason. You know, whether they were because they were from a community of color that had been historically marginalized by the feminist community, or it just seemed that's for white people, that's rich people, that's for women with graduate degrees, that's for women who hate men, that's for lesbians, whatever all these stereotypes are about feminism. So, point being, very different world we were going into. And now, 6 years later, having been a coach in this industry and sort of risen to the top of the industry and been in this field, in this space, it's really clear that I think being in the spaces we are in has changed the conversation. We've all seen the social media posts about hot girl summer, and I'm here to declare instead that I want happy feminist summer. I want all the listeners of this podcast to be happier this summer, even when the world feels like a dumpster fire. It is still important for us to develop the ability to take pleasure in our own lives, to experience joy, relaxation, and rest, not least so that we have more resources to offer back to the world. That has been the story of my life, and that is what I want for all of you. So I am teaching a brand new challenge called the Happy Feminist Challenge this June, from June 17th to June 21st. I am going to be teaching you how to create more daily happiness in your body, how to create that emotion of happiness, and how to connect to your big picture purpose, the life that you want to live, the kind of happiness that really means contentment and fulfillment and satisfaction with your life. These are both things that society tells women that they don't need and shouldn't bother with, and it's selfish to even think about. And you know how I roll. Fuck that noise. This is the Happy Feminist Summer, and you're not going to want to miss it. You can join the challenge by going to unfuckyourbrain.com/happy or text your email to +1-347-997-1784. That's +1-347-997-1784. And the code word is happy. You are not going to want to miss this. Let's get happier together. I see so many more coaches in the spaces that I have been active and prominent and loud in, talking about the patriarchy, talking about feminism, or even not using those words specifically, but talking about the socialization that women get, right? Focusing on how to help women feel empowered, how to help women throw off social expectations. I think it pops up everywhere all around me now in the life coaching industry, right? Both with coaches who strongly identify as feminists, and coaches who never use that word, but are teaching their students how to think about what they've been taught because they have been perceived as and socialized as women. Now, obviously, I'm not taking credit for all of that. I'm not saying that I or Rachel or any specific person did all of that. But I also know it's true that just by being myself and being in these spaces, I have had some influence on some of these coaches. I've gotten DMs telling me that. I've, taken people through my certification. My colleague Greta Lomelli talked on the podcast about kind of being introduced to feminist concepts through getting to know me. And It was such a powerful realization for me when I was talking about this with Rachel, and we were sort of like, oh, like, I really think that us being who we are and being willing to go into this whole new space with all these new people who didn't already agree with us, who were different from us, and bringing this message here has like really impacted so many people, right? So this really crystallized to me the ways in which the desire to make change and the desire to belong can be in tension with each other. So from the thought work perspective, like I have to say, of course, that belonging is not a circumstance. It's a thought we like to have, right? I belong, I fit in, I'm just like these people, we have a lot in common. And when we think that, we create a feeling. And we might call that feeling different things. Some people might call it connection. Some people might call it safety. Some people might call it love. But bottom line, disclaimer, right? Belonging is not a circumstance, it's a thought. Creates a feeling we want to have. And you know, I've done episodes before about loneliness and the emotion of belonging and connection, how to create those. But you may not be able to do that perfectly right away. And I want to talk about the benefit of being willing to strike out on your own anyway. Because if you think about it, the way to 100% belong is to be the same as everyone else, right? To stay with people just like you and to never venture outside of your group. But if you stay only where everyone already thinks like you, then you can't actually make much change, because the whole price of making change is losing that full belonging and that full agreement. And in order to change hearts and minds, you have to go find hearts and minds that don't always agree with you. And I really want you to think about that, because especially those of us who are in the change-making business, I think we want to change hearts and minds, but we also want to never feel rejected. While we're doing that, we want to just feel safe and belonging and accepted, even while we're somehow changing people's beliefs. And that doesn't happen. That doesn't go together, right? And some of us are doing this as a career, but even if you're not a politician or a social justice lawyer or a life coach or whatever, there are places in your life that you want to change people's minds, right? Where you want to persuade people to see your side of something or to support a cause you care about. And yet you don't want to feel rejected or different or disconnected, and you don't want other people to disagree or disapprove of you. And so today I just want to invite you to notice that I'm not sure that really works as a set of priorities, because if you really want to create change, you have to be willing to go outside of your comfort zone. And I want to be clear that I'm not saying anyone should do this. Some of us have no interest in doing this, and that is totally fine. I do not think everyone needs to be out constantly trying to change the world. And depending on your identity and background, there are different risks and benefits and costs to standing out, to trying to go into a community that hasn't met as many people like you or doesn't know as many people like you. That's not always physically as safe for some people than others, right? So none of this is like you should do anything. But if you are wanting to change people's minds and to change the world, I think you have to think about how willing you are to be among people who are not entirely like you, and to be among people where you don't agree with all their opinions, and to be among people who don't already share your beliefs and values and worldview. Because there can be a weird insularity to some corners of any kind of world, but I've come from the social justice world myself, so that's where I'm the most familiar, right? Someone who worked in social justice organizations for a decade or more before I became a coach. I've done direct service work, I've done legal work, I've been on boards of national nonprofits, and those communities are full of amazing people doing amazing work, and I felt like I belonged to them when I was in them. And I, for me personally, I am absolutely sure that I would not have had the impact that I've had now if I'd stayed in that world where I was just one of many people who had the same opinions and beliefs. And again, I think the work that any community is doing to try to make the world better is super important. So this isn't saying that everyone who does social justice work should like change and take my approach. We need people who do stay in communities and build community networks and build community power and build community action, right? So again, none of this is to say what everyone should do. But if you are someone who, like me, feels called to having a different conversation on a different stage with a different group of people, I want you to think about the costs of trying to maintain belonging and shared identity above what you may be called to do or create. Right? If I had stayed attached to the identity of a social justice advocate and stayed in that world, I'm sure I would have done satisfying and important work, but I think I would have just been one of many. I don't think I would have had the impact I'm having now. That's just for me and my journey, right? So this only applies to you if you feel similarly called to step outside of whatever your safe identity and community is for you. And that could be the opposite of mine, right? This is so personal. But taking that step for me, being willing to leave the kind of perceived safety of being in community with people where I knew what I was supposed to believe and we all shared the same opinions, or at least we all pretended to, this is where I've been able to meet and learn from and influence women so completely different from me. And I have zero doubt that I will have indirectly and direct, like I've touched directly so many women's lives through my work, and my work also speaks to people who maybe don't agree with everything I say, but there's people who wouldn't even hear this work from me, but they're able to hear the influence and the impact I've had by sharing my ideas and my beliefs with other coaches and people in my coaching world who can then speak to their communities in a way that they understand it. And I have zero doubt that I will have indirectly touched and changed so many more lives as a result. Because for myself, personally, I have made so much more of a difference in the world that I don't think somebody else would have made in the same way by leaving the identity and that community I was in and venturing into this hilariously weird and mind-blowing world of life coaching on the internet. And that gave me the opportunity to create a different sense of belonging, right? To learn how to connect and belong among my new peers in my new world, to be able to feel and create belonging in my old world, in my new world, wherever I go. But in order to do that, I had to leave that group, right? I had to leave the belonging that comes from just thinking, well, I match everybody here, so I belong, and go into a place where that wasn't true, which required me to create my own sense of belonging, right? To work on belonging with myself so that I felt able to connect to different kinds of people and therefore be able to create that feeling of connection and belonging wherever I went. And that has allowed me to influence and impact and change so many people beyond who I could originally have spoken to. So that's what I'm leaving you with for today, my chickens. Whatever it is that you want to change in the world, just understand that in order to create change, to change hearts and minds, to reach out into different people and change them, you're going to have to be willing to step out of the crowd, right? You will get to create belonging wherever you're going, but you have to be willing to take that step, that first step to go there. Have a beautiful week, and I'll talk to you next week.
If you're loving what you're learning on the podcast, you have got to come check out the Feminist Self-Help Society. It's our newly revamped community and classroom where you get individual help to better apply these concepts to your life, along with a library of next-level, blow-your-mind coaching tools and concepts that I just can't fit in a podcast episode. It's also where you can hang out, get coached, and nerd out about all things thought work and feminist mindset with other podcast listeners just like you and me. It's my favorite place on earth, and it will change your life, I guarantee it. Come join us at www.unfuckyourbrain.com/society. I can't wait to see you there. Pop quiz, have you signed up for the Happy Feminist Challenge yet? This is a brand new challenge that I am running mid-June, starts June 17th, where we are going to be learning how to create both of the two kinds of happiness. First, the happiness we get to feel as an emotion in our bodies on a day-to-day basis, which society tells us we shouldn't care about and we are guilty or selfish for even wanting to experience because we're women. And the second form of happiness, the big picture life satisfaction and fulfillment happiness, which society tells us comes from living up to impossible social standards that we can never meet. Neither of those things are frivolous, silly, or selfish. In fact, learning how to create more happiness, small and big picture in your life, is how you show up with all of your gifts and everything you can offer to the world in such a bigger, stronger way. And it just makes life a lot more fun. So I am going to be teaching you exactly how to do both those things this feminist challenge, this happy feminist challenge. Text your email to +1-347-997-1784. And the code word is happy, or go to unfuckyourbrain.com/happy. I can't wait to get happier with all of you. I'll see you there.